Hi, my name is Frankie. Thank you for listening to Two My Mom. I never listen.
Well, hello, Beth O'Boyle, the head coach of VCU. It's so great to have you on Nothing But Net. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
I mean, full transparency, this is an early morning. We both got our coffee going. I wouldn't mind scheduling a regular coffee with you. It'd be fun. We could just have this chat like every couple of weeks. We could fit it in.
It would be great. Lots of updates on basketball would be fun.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. What's on your mind right now? Like, I know your team is playing so well. You got a lot of good things going on.
The first thing is, you know, we're just having a great season, but tomorrow is our big support her game for our final season home game at VCU against George Mason. We are trying to celebrate and bring visibility to women's basketball in Richmond. And right now, I think we have over 4,000 fans coming. We're about to break the women's basketball attendance record and really celebrate our seniors, our alum, and all of the women in Richmond that have been inspirational. So very excited for that for tomorrow.
That sounds like a great event. So, I mean, I'm a big believer in the product. And when the product is good, I think people are interested. You got a pretty good product on the floor right now. Tell us a little bit about your team and why this event will be so special in Richmond.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things that you talk about with our team is our defense. Our team is taking a ton of pride, and our coaching staff as well is just, you know, becoming one of the top teams in the country in our scoring defense. And we have a lot of players that contribute to that. Mikel Parham, our senior, is an incredible rebounder. She's one of the top offensive rebounders in the league. You know, then Sarah and Tamaya and Mary, you know, just our backcourt that do such an excellent job of not only scoring, but really getting after it. So, you know, you come and you watch a game and, you know, I think you can tell how connected our team is, and they definitely get after it. It's fun to watch.
See, that's what people enjoy, right? Teams that are connected, that stick together, play hard, take no possessions off. You can miss some shots. You're going to miss shots. You're going to turn the ball over a little bit, but I think truly the women's basketball fan really engages in that kind of spirit around the game. How did you turn it around? Because last year wasn't as great as this year, and this year is really great.
Yeah, I know. I think I get asked this question a lot. You know, I think one of the biggest things when you're talking about the strength of your culture, it's not necessarily when things are great. It's how does it respond when things are really difficult? And last year was a really tough year. We had a ton of injuries. And, you know, the biggest thing is that everybody stayed. You know, you talk about the portal right now and, you know, all of the things that might look, you know, oh, better if you go somewhere else. That's not what our players, you know, decided. And they really believe in VCU. They believe in our coaching staff. And they're like, hey, we can do this. We're going to get after it. And everybody returned. We're all healthy. We added a couple of new key pieces. They spent the summer really working on their relationships, really working on their game. And, you know, I think it says a lot about, you know, how hard they work and how connected they are, but also just how do you respond when things are tough?
Mikel Parham, I had a chance to meet her at Media Day. What an engaging personality, right? Here's a kid that, to me, might not get the headlines, doesn't score all the points, but does everything else that you would possibly want to make your team better. If you name it, like I call myself the best non-stat starter, she would be in that category. Like she does some things that, and I'm not, I say that for other reasons, but she truly is a definition of that. Tell us why, how she plays and what she does is going to allow her to have success in anything she takes on next.
Well, she is one, she's a phenomenal leader. She has a great voice. She really does, you know, rise to great moments, but just is really consistent. And then on the court, I don't know that I've ever coached a player that has as high of a motor to the glass, like her. I mean, she has the balance or the combination of athleticism and strength and just ups. Like she fights for rebounds. She gets them out of her area. She spins off. You can, you know, they put multiple times, there's multiple players on her trying to keep her off the glass. And then she's so good for us defensively. She can really just, you know, really dominate the paint and help us in a variety of ways. If we want to trap, she's out there. If she's got to get around on a bigger post player, if she's got to guard a guard, she's so versatile that way. But she's a phenomenal coach. She's got a great personality. Everybody jokes that, you know, she's going to be our governor someday. We'll be voting for her. She's a political science major, and she's just honestly just a pleasure to coach.
She, to people that don't know or haven't seen your team play, I mean, everyone knows Angel Reese. To me, I would put her in that kind of category. That's the kind of bounce she has, how quick she is off her feet, how hard she goes to the glass, you know, all those great traits about Angel, who's an All-American. Mikhail's doing the same things that in the A-10 that Angel's doing nationally.
Yeah, I mean, we were at the game, we were playing the Sound. I think she had 12 rebounds at half. It was at halftime. You know, when we talk about for us, why is our defense, you know, ranked so high, and why is it such, you know, the foundation of how we've been winning games? It's the rebounding. And on the defensive side and then on the offensive rebounds is getting us extra possessions. But sometimes it's hard to take her off the floor because she just really controls the boards.
All right, let's talk about the race a little bit because I think the timing for your event with your fans is a perfect segue into the A-10 tournament in Richmond, or outside of Richmond. I got to believe you had that in mind, that I kind of have a feeling that that was your vision.
A little bit, for sure. You know, it is our final home game, but we looked on that schedule and you're like, okay, it's George Mason, another great team from Virginia, having a phenomenal season as well. We knew it could impact, you know, the A-10 standings in a great way. And what's a better atmosphere than having a six man and at the same time, you know, celebrating and seeing just around the country how women's sports and women's basketball has been just gaining so much attention and really seeing these sellouts happen. Hey, it's our time. We can do it here. And it's an awesome timing for it to happen.
I haven't asked anybody from the A-10 this, so I want to ask you this, because I think Bernie McGlade is an incredible commissioner, and Candy Cage, who she hired this year to advance and promote and, you know, collude, if you will, with all the coaches on how to make the league better, how to promote the league, how to, you know, get more attention for the league. You know, what would you say about why leadership at that level is important for women's basketball?
I'm a huge fan of Candy and Bernadette for what she's done for our league. But it does make such a difference. Even when we're trying to put this together, you know, I'm calling Candy and I'm like, hey, what are some ways that I can go about this? It's going to lead us right into the Henrico and the A-10 tournament being here. It's March Madness. And she's like, hey, let me lift you up. Here's some ideas. Here's some contacts. You know, this is great for the A-10. This is great for women's basketball. And I think it's just, hey, that approach that this matters. What can we do? How can we really help elevate the game? How can we elevate A-10 and them just being so willing to help and their vision? You know, I think Bernadette has had so many great conversations and thoughts, you know, of trying to really advocate for women's basketball, you know, as the leader of the A-10. And, you know, when you have a commissioner like that, it just makes such a difference.
I don't remember as many years as the A-10 seeding and how the league tournament is going to come together. It has come down to the last game. It seems like in most leagues that's the case, but this year it seems exceptional in your league. Tell us a little bit about, like, be the spokesperson for the A-10 and tell us what's been so great about the A-10 this year since you're sitting at the top.
You know, I think it's one of the best years for the A-10. You know, you look at the net, you've got Richmond, you got St. Joe's, you've got us, you got George Mason. Davidson had an incredible start to the year until, unfortunately, they have had so many injuries, but it's just been across the board. I think there's literally six or seven teams that could win the title. And you're coming through non-conference with really strong records. And I think when you look at, you know, just the landscape of women's basketball right now, you've got to have the A-10 up there and looking at multiple bids. You know, I think there's no doubt that, you know, Richmond and all of us and St. Joe's have put in the work to at least get us in the discussion that, hey, you know, you've really got to be taking a strong look at the A-10.
The big news in college basketball is Caitlin Clark, that she announced yesterday that she's going to take her game to the WNBA. As somebody that is intimately involved in the game, but on the outside of Caitlin's experience, what would you say about, you know, what you've witnessed from her, how she's handled her ambassadorship, all the things that she's done around the game? Like, I could just tell you, I've been around it longer than you are, because I'm a lot older than you. I've never seen anything like this.
I think it's tremendous. You know, I think you want to call it almost the Caitlin Clark effect. You know, when you first start off that game, you know, and they're playing out in the football stadium and there's 56,000 people, you're like, where else could it go? But then I look at, you know, how much she's talked about her teammates, how much of her, you know, NIL money she's shared, how she's been promoting the game, you know, just talking about breaking the record, talking about the history of our game. I think she's been a really great ambassador. And I think it has really, you know, I think it has connected the women's basketball world in a different way too, because I know I've got family and friends and everybody, you know, even sitting out, you know, at a restaurant and they're talking about Caitlin Clark. And that is just so great for women's basketball. And so I'm a big fan. Shoot those logo threes. Let's have everybody talk about how deep she can shoot it, and her work ethic, and the way that she plays the game. I just think it's amazing for all of us. You know, I'm a huge fan. I hope she continues to do well. And, you know, and then I hope that continues when she goes into the WNBA. It only helps our game when we have a strong professional team or professional league as well. So, I, you know, I'm sure there's some coaches that want to see those misses, but right now, I'm enjoying, you know, her race for the record right now too.
One of the things Lisa Boyer has said all along is Caitlin's light shines on all of us. And I love that, because, you know, you can't blow out somebody's candle and think that your light's going to shine brighter. I was in the game at the football stadium. I went there on my own dime. I went to the Michigan game February 15 on my own dime. I have been around the game at such a high level for so long. I just had to be there and see it, right? And it was experiences I'll never forget. When people ask me about some of the best moments in the game, I'm going to be able to point to some of those opportunities I had to be in the presence of that kind of economics, because I call it Clarkonomics. That's the way I've seen it all along, Clarkonomics. And I started saying that in November, and I really do think it is exactly what it is. When you sit back in the off season and you evaluate, what are some of the tools that you use to evaluate how your season has gone? When you think about the rebuild of last year to this year, and you're going to take a step back, win or lose at the end, however it goes, and you're going to look. How do you evaluate that, Beth?
Wow, that's a really great question. I might need another cup of coffee, Debbie, to answer that one. It's great. I mean, I think when you step back, you know, I think one of the most important things is, okay, what were the relationships like with our players? You know, can you really see the tangible growth of them on and off the court? That's number one. I mean, I look at, you know, just in our Rhode Island game, there's a moment when Mary was breaking the press and she got over half court and she was so confident with the ball in her hands. And I'm like, gosh, as a freshman last year, she never did that. And that was such a moment. And Jen, our senior, texted me and was like, I just got invited to the Nigerian National Olympic tryouts. And she had been through all of these injuries and really struggling. And she was just beaming with pride. And I'm like, it's those moments that I hope that no matter what happens, win or lose, you know, as you're chasing that championship, that, you know, take a lot of pride in that. And then, you know, we'll break down, hey, what did it look like from a player development piece? What did it look like, you know, from an X's and O's and our staff? Where can we get better? But overall, I think it's just really trying to cherish and enjoy the moments when you really see your players grow.
When do you get your golf clubs out?
Hopefully not until late March. That would be the goal. So hopefully that'll come in the spring. Yeah, or May, the shutdown.
is that your escape in some ways, or can you do recruiting calls and all that while you're on the course?
We have actually, I remember taking a commitment call from while I was on the golf course at Cay Yao. I remember. I was on the tee and I was like, I have to take this. And we had a player commit that morning. So I have done it on the course, but I'm hoping that maybe a little beach time this summer where maybe my phone doesn't work would be really nice, Debbie.
So. Well, come on down here to Charleston and we'll play some golf at Bulls Bay and you can hit the beach and when we're done, we'll go over and we'll stay out of the beach on the golf course. How's that?
That sounds perfect.
Yeah, that'd be great. Beth, thank you so much for being with us on Nothing But Net. Congratulations on what has been a remarkable turnaround season for you and with the right kind of people, with the right kind of tenor and the right attitude. So we wish you well into the postseason and good luck in your big event.
Thank you, Debbie. Go Rams.